Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
Insta.
Wow, here we go. We're back as Grassroots Chally checks our latest follows on Instagram, which is, wow. I don't even know what that sentence means, really. Anyway, my name is Mal. With me, as always,
Craft Brew Sally.
And this is, of course, the Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit. Big show 646. Wow. What a week it's been.
Mm-hmm.
More on that after some music and we gather our thoughts. Or listening as we kicked off, it's a Bring Your Pets to Work Day here at Radio St. Pete corporate headquarters. And of course, Destructo decided to do the cat version of no, 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 and just start screaming. So that's all good. Anyway, here's music while we take a sip of coffee and gather our thoughts.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Do you ever feel alone in a crowded room? Alcohol on my bed, better put on a little perfume. Can do it. It's time to dance.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty then, indeed. That was the Bridge City Sinners. I played Pick Your Poison, The Devil's Swing, and Unholy Hymns, which would explain that long, oh, thing at the end. I gotta say, one of our side, not hustles, because we're not making any money, one of our things we do for fun is we go to various, it's called Find a Grave. I think we've explained this on air before, so if you're a longtime listener, forgive the, you know, recap. So basically, Find a Grave, this is Craft Through Sally's dig gig, but I got in on it too, and now I've started to kind of enjoy it. There's all across the country, maybe the world, but obviously the country. I don't fly on a jet to go look at gravestones. If somebody is doing genealogy, and keep me honest on this one, Craft Through, like, yeah, they need pictures of headstones, or they would like pictures of headstones of their relatives. So if they don't live in the area, they put a request on this app.
Yes.
And then kind-hearted people like us, when we're driving past, it alerts her, Craft Through's phone, and then we pull in and see if we can find it. Usually not, sometimes yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is a very interesting exercise. in that, you sometimes it's a small little cemetery.
And I noticed that more here than in Florida, that they're small.
Well, God's just waiting room is going to have a lot of headstones, you know.
But they're like pop-up. You know what I mean by that? Like, it's not a pop-up cemetery, but like,
yeah, no, these are like established. They're very old up here, up in Wisconsin, you know.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting, and they're always different. And sometimes you'll get none. You'll have a list of 20 and you'll get zero. And you go, I don't know how this happened. And then sometimes you'll get a lot. When I'm doing this, I don't think you're probably much more laser focused than I am. My brain kind of drifts around a lot. Always, really.
Yeah.
But, and so, you know, I've learned to just not talk about what my brain's reviewing in my head while I'm doing other things. But, like, so this one, it's always, I think a lot about religion and that kind of stuff while we're doing this. And it's not, like, not religion, but when you're walking around and you're looking at these dates, you know, and you're looking at these, you're looking for names. First of all, sometimes, like, I have to do, I only, like, do the first letter, like a G, a B, a G, and a Z, whatever it is.
Because
there's usually, like, a lot of names, and I can't keep track of that. So I literally look at each stone, and if it's not one of those, I move on. That's the that's how I've learned to filter through this process. But you happen upon people that have been, you know, that they were from, like, 1864 to 1912, and you're looking at this thing, and you're like, wow. You're like looking at this stone, and you know this, and it, or you're looking at like a child that lived a couple days or whatever it is, and that's always like so sad, you know.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you have these elaborate stones that are always kind of, now you can laugh at them. Sometimes they're really comical.
Right.
You don't want. I mean, I know it's not cool to laugh at them, but sometimes you're like, what are you thinking, dude? You know.
Yeah.
It's like the whole experience every time we do it, kind of makes me think about religion. It makes me think about your time on earth, and is this it? And you know, and that kind of thing. Like, do you want to have a stone? Do you want to have a marker? So some alien, when they're doing Find a Grave as a joke, because they like certain, they maybe like they'll harvest certain bodies for fuel, you know, I don't know. Like, so they'll find the grave, and then they'll like, you know, find you there. Like, what do you want there? You know, what do you want yours to say or do? It's just an interesting thing. I don't, does your mind wander when you're doing this? Or are you like super?
Because what I do is I write us each a list. So it's like, I know the names. So I think in my head, I'm just going over the names that we're looking for, like the last names.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it doesn't give you more success rate than me, who is drifting all over the place thinking about where the stomach is.
Not at all.
But I mean, and I do, you know, we actually do this as part of just to get out and
walk.
You're walking. You are outside. Now, this isn't, obviously, we're not doing any like planking or cardio kickboxing while we're doing this, but you're walking on these mountainous hills because, you know, graveyards aren't like flat, really smooth places. They're really kind of That's where they put them on the hills by the trees and all that stuff. Yeah. You know, it is just it was an interesting, because we did one today. We went to a car show, which we'll talk about that later in the show. This isn't going to be graveyard talk with Mao and Crafter Sally. You know, it's just one of those things where you go, when we were out at this car show, and then on the drive back, you're going through these small towns you would not normally go through.
Right.
And if something pops up, you're like, well, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, because you're here, you hop out, it's maybe a half hour of just wandering around. And it sounds ghoulish when you're talking to somebody. Like, if you're sitting at work and you're telling somebody about this, you can feel like the judgmental stare, like, ooh, you're a ghoul. Like, I have a shovel and I'm digging them up to take a picture of the person or something. No. Like, no, this is just very innocent. We're not making any money even on this. It's just like one of those things that helps genealogy out across the country.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an odd thing to talk about. Like, oh, yeah, I just go and look around a graveyard for a stone, you know. But it
helps us that are doing our family tree.
Yeah. See, now you're really into family tree stuff, and you know how good that is. If somebody sends you a picture, and you're like, it verifies your information and your time, the dates.
And sometimes you get conflicting information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you chisel a stone wrong, now that's a car, my friend. That is that's a meeting. You're going to have to talk to somebody about.
That's on your permanent record.
And if the family's like, well, all right, if they just accept that and go, whatever, the date's wrong on there. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine them doing that.
Right.
I don't know. It'd probably verify.
It happens.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was just interesting. Like, we almost had a clean sweep this time.
Oh,
One holdout. We had
two.
A list of six and then, or six
two.
Names.
Yeah.
But one name on that we couldn't find them. We found a lot of that name, but not the right ones.
Yeah.
And, but it was.
Then I looked at. Then I just searched them on the way home, because I was like, how is it that there was like 600 of this name here and these two weren't on there?
I know.
So I was, while we were driving, I just put it in Google, and Google found them on Ancestry in a different cemetery.
See, now my thought was that though that family, they were actually like, they turned to worship Satan. So then they were extricated from that plot, because there was so many of that name.
Yeah.
And they were like, not them. They're the evil ones. They're, you know, and they put them like off behind some bushes. And then the other ones kick dirt on them when they walk by. You rotten.
These are the stories that he makes up as he's walking around.
Totally legit. Anyway, here's some awesome music that's not about dead people.
It just ate the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life.
We'll be right back. killed, you gotta kill them.
Who, the women?
No, their husbands.
Give it a try. All right, here goes. Hi, Craig. I was wondering if maybe you'd want to, I don't know, go out sometime.
Huh. That's about as likely as me playing by someone else's rules besides my own, which I would never do. I play by my own rules, nobody else's, not even my own.
How about a movie?
I don't go out with dudes.
Paramount Pictures presents
a duel. Ghoul. Double. Scream Show.
Scream number one.
Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell.
See the eeriest transplant in the history of horror. His brain came from a genius. His body from a killer. His soul came from hell.
It's the newest and most frightening Frankenstein ever filmed.
Scream number two. Captain Kronos, Vampire Hunter.
The only man alive feared by the walking dead. Warn the night creatures and the blood moon. Captain Kronos is here!
Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell. Plus...
Captain Kronos, Vampire Hunter. All shock.
In color, both rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Now scream!
Have you ever seen Point Break?
No.
Amazing bit in Point Break where they jump over fences.
Is there none? 29.
That's Swayze's just robbed this bank. Keanu Reeves is chasing him through people's gardens. And he goes to shoot Swayze, but he can't because he loves him so much. And he's firing his gun up in the air. He's like, oh!
Fancy.
Have you ever fired your gun up in the air and gone, ah?
No, I have not ever fired my gun up in the air and gone, ah.
And that, my friends, was The Coffin Lids from their Round Midnight album. I played Frankenstein. She's the Bomb, and Tonight You're Gonna Die in My Garage. Timeless classics, truly. So, a little bit of a housekeeping. I know the last couple of weeks have been all about the shenanigans or shenanigans or whatever you want to say about my employment or lack thereof or what is going on. So I'll do a quick recap because nothing smells fun like talking about work. That's what people tune in for. All the kids say, that's hot. I'm the employment Rizzler, as they say. Anyway, deuces. No, okay. No. So I got to the second first day of my new job. The first day, if you'll recall, if you're new to listener, the building I was in got tore down by a tornado after 3 hours. That's not hyperbole. It honestly did. And my car got jacked up, but drivable. And then I went home and they... And no one called me, and I was like, I don't think I have a job anymore, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. So I called, and then they called back and said, no, you do, and we're going to this other place, which is far away, for that's it, and you're okay. So there was another satellite office, and they kind of just made room for the people that got displaced by the tornado. And it looks like the building, they don't know about the building yet, but it, by all accounts, it's pretty bad. So that's probably a loss. That's not official. Nobody knows. Who knows? This is all corporate voodoo and spreadsheet madness. You know,
official people.
Oh, yeah. Not even the corporation. Yeah. Like this is like. Like the city goes in and goes, no, you know, you're not permitted on here because you'll die if you walk on here. And we hate paying people people's families when people die on our land. So whatever it is, you know, it's going to be a long time before even decisions are made, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, but the first day of my second first day, and when I walked in, I kind of said, well, if we make it through this day, then we know it wasn't me that brought the tornado. And we did. We made it through the first week. I do have a kind of a morbid sense of humor. I try to keep it at bay when I'm at work because they don't really know who you are. And sometimes people take things the wrong way. But I made it through a week. It was interesting because now you got to think everyone's displaced and it's a cobbled together thing.
Temporary location.
Office cubicle setting that has been hastily put together and stuff has been ordered to get things up and running. So you know how useful a new hire is in that situation. But whatever. We're going along. So that's gonna be it for now. If anything new or exciting of note develops, I'll let everyone know one way or the other. But as of now, that's going to be the end of work talk because, like I said, that's really hot. Everyone loves that. Right. Like, oh, I can't wait to talk. I can't wait to tune into this guy's show or their show. It's about work.
Yeah.
And I like to listen while I'm at work, and it makes me more depressed than normal. Right. It's like a comedy. Mm-hmm. It's like, what was that Inception? Like we'll talk about being working at a cube farm, and then you listen while you're at a cube farm, and it's Inception, all about cube farm work. No, let's not do that.
Let's not do that.
All right, here's music.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
On this dark and foggy night, you found yourself stranded in the haunted land of Monsterville, where tonight the Long Gaps is your host. The Haunted Beach Party. All the surf monsters, mad draggers, and beach bullies are just dying to meet you for this cursed seaside adventure. So grab your coffin board and get ready for a real scream.
Ha 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 mad doctor toils in his fiendish laboratory. The crackling power of his evil instruments blast power into a giant sleeping hulk, which shudders, creaks, and slowly stirs. He bursts his steel bonds and stands. Frankenstein's monster.
Was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries.
Is there someone else up there we can talk to?
No. Now go away, or I shall taunt you a second time.
And that was, of course, Haunted Beach Party. After the intro, I played Dracula Hates Photo Shoots, The Spy Who Surfed Me, and Midnight Monster Hop. Good stuff. That was Monstroville. Sorry, Monstroville, the Haunted Beach Party. So we went to a local car show we've been to, I think, just about every year since. Maybe not every year since we're here. At least the last four, I'll say. Maybe last three? I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah, I want to say four. It's a Simcoe Weekend, Hot Rod Weekender, which is always a fun time. They have a nice mix. They have a lot of rat rods. They have a lot of just honest to goodness straight up hot rods, mm-hmm. and then they have some of those super glossy, perfect cars. Yeah. You know, just a big mix.
I think I heard somebody say today that one section is like it has to be period correct.
Yes. Some of them are very strict. There's all these, like everything else, there's all these subcultures within the culture, like hot rod stuff, and some, like the, I know what's a ham, HAMB. Their cars, when they're like, they have to be, they can't be neat parts past 1940 something, you know.
Oh.
So they're true old school hot rods. And then I'm mixed about rat rods. And if you don't know what we're talking about, like hot rod culture, there's some hot rods look like junk, and you know, and they're very fast. They're mm-hmm. literally just built to be as fast as they can be, and not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's almost like a backlash. 90s and 2000s, like, hot rods were almost these most perfect examples of glossy paint, perfect bodies. Everything looked almost not drivable.
Right.
So then the cool kids were like, nah, and they swung the pendulum the other way, and it was just as ugly as it could be without, well, still being, like, super loud and fast and obnoxious. And there's kind of place for all those worlds, you know. And this show has a lot of everything,
it
you
does.
Know, and it's very fun. It has a big swap meet area. So you walk around there. We always go in and kind of walk around there and see the same people. that have dragged the same crap there for, I'm assuming, 20 years, but the last four, to be sure.
Yes.
Because I could even tell you where they'll be.
Yeah.
That's it's just...
I think there was that one... At one point, there was like, oh, they weren't here last year. They were over there last year.
Just so. Huh. It's the same junk. It's even the same crap. It's amazing.
It is, yeah.
And you go, well, whatever. You know, but it's a fun time. Anyway, you got to see one of our old, my old supervisor, who I like very much. She's always there. And her and her husband are like, do stuff there.
Yes.
And her husband, like, they built this, like, wooden carousel, like cathedral, like not cathedral. Like
I think she said, are they putting a carousel inside of that?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think that's what.
Wow.
I understood.
Yeah, from it's really cool. Like, because he's like a shop teacher, woodworking guy.
Yeah.
And the people that constructed that, like, did it the old way with wooden pegs and stuff like that, like the joints and all that kind of stuff. Wow. It is really, it's neat. It's not finished yet, but the main portion was there and it was really cool looking.
It was so neat. I was like, could he build us a pergola?
No. So, but it was a lot of fun and always very noisy. For some reason, it's always the hottest weekend in the world too. It's kind of strange.
It's true.
Walking around just dying.
Yeah.
Just burning
It's
up.
Really neat though, because it reminds me of when we were in, when you would go to Heritage Village. Because it has, like, the shops.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the barber shop and the old, like,
candy old-timey shop. Yeah. See, for the longest time, me and my dad were the Heritage Village blacksmiths down in, what was it, Pinellas County Heritage Village, you know.
Yeah.
Not the only one. There was a main guy, but me and my dad just kept going. So, my dad would say, let's go ruin some perfectly good metal. And we would. And it was always fun. Just sitting there blacksmithing in the Florida heat, which you could imagine was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. But it was still very fun.
Yeah.
You know, after he passed away, I kind of didn't do that anymore. But it's neat to look at it. It's neat. It's fun to kick around those old villages like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It was, I'm trying to think of some of the interesting sights we've seen. They do mini bike races there.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wish that there was you could buy a ticket to not have that. Like, to be like, that was a second. And if they charge $10 more and you don't get to see the mini bike races, because they don't like mufflers.
No.
And they're very loud.
Not a muffler to be found.
And like, hot rods are loud, but that's a pleasing sound. It's a thump, thump,
totally
thump.
You can different.
Feel the power. You know, you can feel like what
you can feel it in your chest.
Yes. With mini bikes, you feel it in your ears.
Yes.
And your annoyance gland, wherever that's located on your body. Because, boy, are they annoying sounding. It's a herd of bees going very fast, you know. But it was cool. I always look forward to it.
Yes.
One time we had to go, like, earlier in the week. They had to do it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I bet you Friday's a good
probably
time to hit it.
Yeah.
And then when we left, we went to Iola.
Yes.
Well, we can talk about it now. We've only been to Iola one time. When we first moved up here, we've heard about this Iola car show.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's this thing, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about Iola. And today I was like, when we're driving, I was like, let's go. Do they have anything there? And we found a place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And Iola has like 40 historical things.
Markers.
I don't understand why, but they do.
Yeah.
And so we went there, and they do, in fact, have a downtown. But this is a town of, what did I say, 1,500 or 1,620 or something like that?
Yeah,
like
it was
1,640 people or something. Don't quote me on that number. But it's like that, you know, and you go, wow. You know, so we drive in and we ate at the one restaurant there, you know, kind of.
Iola Mill.
It was just, it's kind of interesting, because now I want to go back to that car show.
Yes.
But that car show.
But that one's nuts.
It's huge and it's expensive. Like everyone there, everything there is really expensive. Like, I don't know. If you want to build a hot rod now, you better be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, it used to be a thing where you could build a hot rod, not cheap, but not expensive. The whole point was you're making a fast car kind of on the cheap, as cheap as you could, but still be reliable and fast. That is long gone.
That's now a rat rod.
Yes. And even that is stupid expensive.
Yeah.
Like, you know. So we go to look and have fun and see the sights, but really the delusions of grandeur that you were going to have I was going to build one or restore a car or something that is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even talk about that nonsense anymore. That's how expensive a car is to be cool. Mm-hmm.
We just buy pinball machines now.
That's just as expensive, but kind of more fun, I guess. I don't know. So whatever. Although you don't take your pinball machines out in a field. That'd be funny. We'd do it like a hot rod show, but make it for pinball machines.
Yeah.
And everyone just brings them and puts them in fields. And you sit behind them on your lawn chairs. And and people like look at it and just keep walking, you know. I don't think that would go over too big.
Nah.
Yeah. Oh, well, here's music. It's not about any of that nonsense we just talked about.
All right, you hayseeds, it's a stick up. Everybody freeze. Everybody down on the ground.
Well, which is it, young feller? You want I should freeze or get down on the ground? I mean to say, if I freeze, I can't rightly drop. And if I drop, I'm going to be in motion. You see?
Shut up!
Okay, then.
She looked so innocently into the camera. She vamped across the studio in stockings and a bra. Oh, Betty was a rebel, but now she is a star. Black Fang Betty, Black Fang Betty Page. Black Fang Betty Page is all the rage. doesn't make a sound. Ruby looks like a fallen angel. Fallen angel down.
Oh,
Just like that, we are back. This is, of course, Sake Bama Go Go. Big Show 446. My name's Mao. With me, as always,
Craft Brew Sally.
This is the show that's going to bring you all kinds of interesting, unique, and awesomeness from Japan, Korea, and parts unknown. Ooh, so exotic. But maybe not. Anyway, who cares? So, we were talking about the car show. If you were listening on Radio St. Pete, we were kind of led into this one with the car show. Did have some interesting observations about that car show, and we'll talk about that right after this music break. Kind of like the nostalgia portion. We didn't talk about that yet. So, very interesting. But here's something more interesting, and that's, of course, music.
Isn't it interesting, Summer, that after all that stuff we just did, nothing really mattered and there was no point to it?
Yeah.
And St. Attila raised the hand grenade up on high, saying, O Lord, bless this thy hand grenade, that with it thou mayst blow thine enemies to tiny bits.
That's the way, we like it. That is the Vampire Bats from their newest and first album, Vampire's Delight. I played Burning, Vampire Woman, and Zombies in Love. Aren't we all? Good stuff. That was the second time I ordered something from Japan where the shipping was about two times more than the item I purchased. Yeah. Those hurt. The 5678's book about the flyers, and then the Vampire's Delight pre-order. I went, ooh, that stings, but I'm gonna do it anyway, and I did, and I'm okay with it. But you gotta be careful. Like if I order from Play Asia, or if I order from Time Bomb Records, which I highly recommend you do, order a lot. Like I'll order like a bunch of music. That way, at least I feel better that most of the money isn't going towards shipping. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, yikes.
Yeah. What was that? There was something I was going to order, and then I was like, oh, I don't think I'm ordering this because look how much shipping is.
Oh, it was that glass pen or something like that. And I was like, well, be stupid and just do what I do.
Yeah.
Order it.
It was a guitar glass.
Yeah.
Glass nib.
Fountain pen.
Dip pen.
Yeah. Yes. And then you were smart because you looked on Amazon and there it was. And you're just like, well, look at this. I got it and I didn't pay for that shipping.
And it was less than it would have been.
Exactly. So, oh, well, yeah. I'll die poor. Oh, well. See, so we were at this car show and we were walking around. And if you listen to the show before this one, it's like it's always the same crap, you know. And I started when I was looking around, I started thinking about what you're looking at. You know, you're looking at, they have a lot of really, really old stuff. You know, some of it's car parts. Most of it isn't. Most of it's just
stuff,
signage or bikes or whatever. And it's really old and rotted and goofy. And I think certain things kind of shift what the value of stuff is. You know, I always tell the story. When I first started getting into blacksmithing with my dad, we were buying up this, I have these anvils and I have these huge leg vices and stuff like that. And they were nothing. They cost nothing. And then Forged in Fire came on TV and all of a sudden people got really interested in blacksmithing.
Yeah, I remember
At one point, because I had a really, really nice, I have a really, really nice Swedish, 1800s Swedish anvil. And it has all the stuff. And I literally gave the person $100 for the stump, the tools, the anvil, everything. All the little things that go in to do different stuff. Like there's a little hole that you put the different tools in, you know.
Yeah.
And it was nothing. Well, that thing now is worth thousands of dollars. But
right. At
one point, I'm sitting there and I'm using an old anvil as a footrest out on out in the garage. And I'm like, huh. This thing says it's $300. I think I sold it for $300. I'm not going to have a $300 footrest. And right. I sold it and the guy was very happy to buy it. But that made it so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And often guitars, if one dude plays a guitar you have, you're now rich. Like those Nirvana, Kurt Cobain used to play this old Fender Mustang. And these were the learner guitars.
Oh,
they were junk.
Yeah.
But he was cool, then those are now worth more than a house. And you go, well, okay, you know, if you're lucky enough. But
if Hugh Jackman uses a fountain pen in a really funny movie.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
If only you could find out which pen it is.
So we're walking around and I'm looking at this stuff. And a lot of it, if you see an old gas pump, those old with the glass bulb on them.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a real one, that's... They're like, wow, that's really old. That's kind of cool looking. Any gas related, car related memorabilia like that. The old stuff is kind of cool, if nostalgic. But most of it, when you're looking at it, it's an old sign from a corn brand.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's corn. I don't remember corn ever being cool. You know what I mean? This stuff, and they'll have $15,000 on it. And you're like, I don't know about that, you know, and it's just anything old that is signage is now because of that. What was that TV show where they'd crawl around and be like, oh, this garbage is worth a whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Archaeology.
It was Mike Wolf and the other guy, but then the other guy left, and then there was a string of whomevers. Doesn't matter. Danielle was the gal, like the burlesque dancer gal. So, no, she really is. But anyway, and you go, well, okay. That stuff is cool, but it's not. There's no intrinsic nostalgia that you have for this.
Right.
But it now, like, and it, this stuff, like some of the stuff that I like, oh, that's really cool. You know, and you look at it and you're thinking about, where would I hang that somewhere? Where would it go? Why would I want this? Mm-hmm. I have no interaction with Crown brand gasoline or whatever, some gasoline thing that's from the 1920s or 1930s. Why would I care? Why is that cool to me?
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like stuff from the 70s, 80s. That was the stuff the cool kids had when I was a kid. And you go, well, that makes sense. That's like, oh, he likes that because he looked up to those kids when he was a little kid.
Yes.
And that's cool. So that's in your brain. That's hardwired to be, oh, that's really cool. Like, oh, look at those Kreger mags. Because some kid, his older brother had it. And you're like, well, that's cool. That guy is cool. You know. But, this old stuff from the 30s. Why wouldn't people go, oh, that's really awesome. And you go, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, my grandpa had them.
I get some stuff, I guess, you know.
Some of it, no.
But you never want your grandpa's cool.
No.
You know what I mean? You like stuff because you love, when they pass on, you love your grandparents and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a really odd thing.
Yeah.
That people just have these old things. But then they also have, like, there's, like, fields full of new signage that's painted to replicas.
Yeah.
And either it looks old or it looks brand new. And then you're kind of like, well, now this is totally missing the point.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that one thing was cool, that Texaco or that Pegasus, that red Pegasus thing, is because some dude drug it out of a swamp in Florida and sprayed it off and was like, oh, yeah, Texaco. And then it was all shot up and rotted away, but it was still existing. And then you go, well, that thing has lived a million lives and now I have it hanging on my thing and that's cool. The guy that just paints or that reproduces it, probably from China, that's not cool. That's just a reproduction of that thing.
Just a cheap rip.
$2,000 and you can have all the cool signs in the world in your garage, but it'll just be like weirdness. I don't know. It's one of those funny things that American culture, and maybe all cultures, but I know American culture for sure, like does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you go and you're like, oh, I don't know. And as somebody who likes putting wacky stuff on the walls, I try to make it like authentically wacky because fake wacky isn't wacky at all. You know, if you go into one of those wacky bars that has all that crap on the walls and it's not weird one-off stuff.
Say shenanigans one more time.